Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is certainly a an interesting weekend here as we're getting through football here and baseball, and the Orioles have taken to the field, and the Ravens took to the field, and there were very few people at the game. The Colts were there. I am surprised that a man of my age would look down and see those Colts jerseys and just for a minute, like, check back a little bit, but we're gonna be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week down in Ocean City. I am out doing my tastiness tour that is taking me a lot of tasty places, and we're sharing all that. And Luke has been traveling around with the football team, and man, we talked about Keaton Mitchell, and they talked about Keaton Mitchell, and I like anything that rhymes with Nestor. I like so Wester. I see him doing his little celebration, running around a little bit. I don't know, man. It was preseason football, right? I Cooper Rush and not a lot of people there, and the other team's quarterback got hurt, which gave me the heebie-jeebies about the night I was down at the Georgia Dome eating some Hooters wings up in the club level, and Michael Vick's on his back and Adelis Thomas. So, not a good scene for the Colts.
It wasn't. I mean, I don't have nearly as much interest in that. I mean, it's dislocated pinky. Looked a little bit like Brian Baldinger, quite frankly, from the little clip that I saw. But I mean, they have their quarterback issues. That's why they're playing their quarterbacks. They're trying to figure it out. The Ravens, what we saw is nothing that you better not have anything happen to Lamar Jackson because Cooper Rush and Devin Leary didn't look like it, right? Even as a backup, Cooper Rush, we've kind of talked about it going back to OTAs. I'm still waiting to see the Cooper Rush that we saw in Dallas, which was not Dak Prescott, let's be clear, but someone that was still able to win them some games. I mean, it's been kind of underwhelming going back to the spring, but you kind of just named two of the three headlines in my mind from Thursday night's preseason win over Indianapolis. Your side point about Indianapolis being in town. How about the fact that the Colts came back to Owings Mills to practice a couple of days ago, and yet it wasn't even a blip on the radar? It speaks to the fact that we're 30 years later, right? I
Well, the
mean,
Ravens people were wearing J.I. Were they wearing Jimmy Irsay pins?
they might have been. I mean,
It looked that way to me, like Harbaugh. Anybody that had a collar had, like, the old a respect pin. But it looked to me like a lot of Ravens personnel had it.
yeah, well, they did announce and recognize his passing. They put a graphic up on the board as far as year he was born and the fact that he had passed away going into this training camp. So there was a recognition there. But to bring it back onto the field, you mentioned it, Keaton Mitchell. I think the returns on him as far as how he looked in the spring, how he's looked early in training camp, were encouraging. But even having covered 15 plus years of training camp practices in my life, you never really know until you take it to the next step. How does someone look when you get to the first preseason game? How does someone look in the second and third preseason game? How do you look in week one? How do you look in week five, right? Keaton Mitchell made it back last year, but in the limited opportunities that he had, didn't look like the guy that we saw back in 2023, who was phenomenal. I mean, we've talked about it in passing. I'm not sure the Ravens go sign Derrick Henry when they did if Keaton Mitchell doesn't tear up his knee. That's how good he looked as a rookie. Now, I'm not saying that that wasn't a smart move and that didn't work out because that'd be crazy talk, but it speaks to how well Keaton Mitchell was playing as a rookie. We saw very much some flashes of him looking a lot like that. Obviously had 220 plus yard runs. The touchdown run was well blocked. I think any back, worth his salt, scores or at least gets inside the five there. But it was his 20 plus yard run a couple plays before that where he showed some good vision to bounce outside and took off. So that was good to see. Lejonte Wester, who the Ravens drafted in the sixth round out of Colorado, Deion
That's a
Sanders.
great name there. That's,
He is. He is.
LeJonte Wester.
And a productive player at Colorado, but the Ravens really drafted him for his punt return ability. And I have to give Pro Football Focus credit for this. I did not see this right away, but I saw this as I was waking up early Friday morning to kind of go over and see what had been written about it. His 87-yard punt return for a touchdown, more punt return yards than any single returner the Ravens had last year. That's talking total, like total return yards for Tylan Wallace as a punt returner, or Deontay Hardy, or what, Steven Sims. They had four, five, six different guys return punts last year. None of them in memorable fashion. So that was
Special
good to
teams
see.
has been diminished to me.
It has
Like
been. Well,
these
last year it
kickoffs
was.
are weird, and they're you know we're not the there is an excitement level of that play, and I will hear head trauma all day long. I'll always
Right.
take the side of let's have less head trauma as I get older. And friends of mine who played this game, I can't speak to them anymore because of head trauma. So I view it differently. But it's changed the game in that way, and it's changed the value of I go back to a Jermaine Lewis or to even 12 years ago with Jacoby Jones, the value of having that kind of an explosive returner. I'm a Billy White Shoes Johnson guy from
Right.
back in the day, and Howard Stevens is coming back for the 75 Colts. They're doing a reunion next month. So, and I thought about Marshall Johnson, who was a returner of my youth. That I always cheered for, try to make the team back in the Burt Jones era. But yeah, it was a swashbuckling thing, right? I mean, we had a Hall of Famer here for half a minute in Devin Hester, right? Another thing that rhymed with Nestor and Wester. But I don't know that that's going to exist in the game anymore, right? Like Jim Palmer going 350 innings, or I mean, it just feels like it's being phased out of the game, the importance of it.
Well, I don't know so much about the punt return. I mean, the punt return is still very similar to how it's always been. The kick return we've seen change dramatically,
You can
right?
always kick away from a punt returner.
And
We've been
that's
doing
part of it
that for
too.
50
But the
years.
reality is the Ravens just haven't had very good punt returners in recent years. I mean, they just haven't. They've had guys who at best are what Tylan Wallace, and I know Tylan Wallace, did have a return a couple years ago, so I want to acknowledge that. But for the most part, you have to go back to Duvernay, probably Duvernay's first or second year. I obviously he started to decline and wasn't quite as explosive his last year or so, I guess after that foot injury that he had in his next to last year as a Raven. I'm trying to get all my years keep all my years straight, but Wester, I mean that was explosive. I mean you saw that's something where you say, okay, just catch the ball, kid, because you can run. I mean you could see the vision. They also blocked well too. I will give Chris Horton's punt return unit some credit and kick return unit as well, because Rasheen Ali had a long kick return as well. But that's something that they were lacking last year. They were not lacking very much last year. Once they got their defense figured out midway through the season and their pass defense was better after they benched Marcus Williams, they benched Eddie Jackson, they made the changes they did with Ardarius Washington coming in and Hamilton playing off the ball more frequently. But one area where they never really figured things out was special teams. Tucker was a big part of that with his struggles the first two-thirds of the season, but they just weren't impactful to the way that to the degree that you always expect a John Harbaugh coached special teams unit, and Chris Horton, but John Harbaugh with his background, you always expect that to be a big priority, and it just wasn't a particularly strong special teams unit by any
Well, I mean, I
means.
go back to the, Billick putting Ed Reed back there and Harbaugh putting Ed Reed back there and say, make a play.
Sure.
And it feels like that hasn't been as much of their game, but I don't think it's as much of the game either, in a general sense that we're going to have Hall of Fame returners because half the game's kind of been taken away, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's more of a kick return thing, but I think there's still opportunities on the punt return side. Now, have punters gotten better? Have teams been more leery about kicking to high impact return specialists? I think there's probably some validity to
Well, hell,
that,
the Ravens
but
never punt. They, fourth and six, we'll go, right?
sure. Yeah. I mean, on that side, but they've been looking for this, and Wester is, it was a heck of a debut. Now, he also was the only one who did anything in the passing game for them. I mean, obviously, if we want to get to more negative impact, first of all, the unfortunate knee injury to Bilal Koné, their sixth round cornerback. It's ugly in real time, just watching it from the press box. I know there's video out there for people to go review it. You could tell right away that that was serious. They were close to the tunnel. They brought the cart out right away. They put his left leg in an air cast. John Harbaugh already confirmed torn ligaments. He's out for the year. Unfortunate. Do I think he was going to have a major impact on the 2025 Ravens? No. I mean, it was a sixth round pick. The fact that they drafted two corners in the sixth round already was leading to some roster questions as far as, all right, are you going to keep both those guys? What does that mean for Jalen Armour-Davis, who I thought played well on Thursday night, as he should, as a fourth year corner going up against, more backups and whatnot in a preseason opener. But now with Kone done, that probably paves the way for Jalen Armour-Davis, if he's healthy, which has been the story of his career, unfortunately, probably makes him all but a lock to make the roster at this point. And you're going to see opportunities for other guys in terms of filling out the back, right? They sat their top four corners. Marlon Humphrey, Awuzie, Jaire Alexander, and Nate Wiggins, they sat out on Thursday night. And smartly, I agree with that tactic, but unfortunate with Kone. I mean, it was ugly and it's painful. I mean, you're talking about a kid in his first NFL game, and he had a little bit of a shoulder issue to start camp, but it seemed like he was finally starting to get going. I mean, he had good coverage on that play. I mean, he was right there as a third down play that held them to a field goal. But so that was a bummer to see. And I mentioned it in passing, but just the quarterback play and the passing game. It's not Lamar. Cooper Rush isn't going to be Lamar. Devin Leary's not going to be Lamar. You know that they sat their top three wide receivers. But I mean, John Harbaugh, it was so bad that, I mean, go listen to, you can go to BaltimorePositive.com and listen to Harbaugh's postgame, and we'll certainly have it on our airwaves throughout the weekend. But he almost, I don't want to say he was making fun of it, but he kind of, it was just like, man, what's the record for the fewest passing yards in a preseason game? I mean, you could tell he wasn't like going out of his way to crush those guys, but you could tell he wasn't pleased with the quarterback play.
I mean, there is a point where, like, have you practiced? You guys have been out there, for a couple of weeks. You can't make a first down, make a play, complete a pass, do something.
And I would also say, the pass protection at times left something to be desired. I mean, the Ravens did play three of their starters on the
Oh, I
offensive
saw
line.
Rosengarten out there running around early, and I, you
I mean,
know.
the Faalele play where, I mean, he got run over on that. I mean, that one was easy to see. Man, that's not going to be fun for him to go over that with the coaches, as they're reviewing the film. So there were certainly things to work on. This was certainly not a perfect performance, but you also think about it in the context of how many guys they sat. I mean, they had five projected starters playing on Thursday night. The three guys on the offensive line, Rosengarten, Faalele, and Andrew Voorhees. By the way, Voorhees, a couple really nice blocks, including the block on the touchdown for Keaton Mitchell. So those three played. And then on defense, obviously Malachi Starks is going to play, as a rookie. He played and, I thought did some nice things. And we saw Trenton Simpson play and play a lot, and if there's another area, I wouldn't say these guys played poorly, but wasn't really until the undrafted rookie in the fourth quarter, Jay Higgins, that they had any kind of splash plays from their linebackers. So that's still, you're still looking to see more from Trenton Simpson. You're looking to see, okay, can Teddy Buchanan, their fourth round rookie, can he push him at all? I thought it was kind of a quiet night for those guys. So, but
They
I
get
thought
after the quarterback enough to hurt him.
the front did. Yeah, the front did. I mean, I'm talking about the inside linebacker play where I just thought it was quiet, right? I didn't think, you didn't see someone make 11 tackles, right? I mean, you didn't see someone say, oh my, like, who is that, right? I mean, where we've even seen that, like I said, it was the undrafted rookie Jay Higgins late in the game who, had the pick, had a batted pass and had a big hit, kind of a Ray Lewis like hit. It was clean, but it was a hard hit over the middle, so which you don't see very many of those anymore. But so, I mean, I think overall, obviously the headliners that you mentioned are the major takeaways here. It's a preseason game. We're going to talk about this and then we're going to forget about it by
Now.
Wednesday of next week or now, right? I mean, I was going to be a little more diplomatic, but the reality is, I mean, the only thing of real certain consequence is the injury, right? Bilal Kone, who, like I said, wasn't going to be a guy that did much more than maybe special teams. You hope, right? I mean, you hope you don't have a run of injuries where he was going to have to play this year, but it's unfortunate for him because they like him. I mean, they thought in the sixth round they had a guy who could develop into outside depth guy, and he still could, but it's unfortunate, right? I mean, it's not just the injury; it's all that missed developmental time now. We saw that with David Ojabo, who did have a sack early on, unblocked on the play. I'm not sure you can't really take much away from that other than good for David Ojabo in that moment. But it's just anytime you lose a player, you're reminded of it's preseason. And yes, guys have to get ready for football by playing football. You can't just put them in bubble wrap, but it does reiterate and remind you why. Yeah, the Ravens keep their established starters out of harm's way and just say, hey, practices, joint practice with the Colts that we had on Tuesday, that's good enough, right? And we'll see them in a couple weeks. They'll have a joint practice again with the Commanders. That's the most valuable work at this point in time in 2025 for established starters. But you can't rest everybody, right? And that's where it's unfortunate for, a kid who I think there was. Some promise. There still is. Again, I don't want to make it sound like his career's over, but man, if you're squeamish, don't go back and look at that because,
I remember the Anthony Poindexter injury 25 years ago, and it's that sort of player, that kind of guy that you're hoping that he can be a real contributor, especially at a position where deep depth is, what it's all about. Luke Jones will be out on the practice fields the next couple of weeks. The Orioles are doing whatever they're doing. I tell you what, I'm doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and I'm doing the tastiness 27th anniversary of what we've been doing around here. I have the Lucky Sevens doubler, I guess because of our 27th anniversary, sort of makes sense, as well as the pressure luck with the whammy. We will have the Raven scratch-offs by the end of the month. We're going to be doing the show everywhere, but I'm in Ocean City next week. And I got to say this, Luke. I go down to Ocean City Wednesday for Mako. They have a bunch of events. A lot of them involve alcohol and chicken wings, and beach and girls and sandals and music and secrets and Fagers and like all that stuff. And then Thursday and Friday, I work at the convention center, which is it really like the Super Bowl, sort of, except that it's Maryland people and people saying hello, but it's in a convention hall. It's 20 degrees. The hockey game's on. It's 92 outside. Your glasses fog up when you walk out. You need a sweatshirt all day. Then you walk out. And when you walk out, you're like, I don't really want to look at girls. I don't really want to go to the boardwalk. I don't really want to be around people. So you do all of that. And then Saturday, I'm driving home. And every day, I'm picking up some tastiness things over on the Eastern Shore that I've learned that taste really good that people should stop and get. And Saturday, I'm coming home and I'm like, yeah, I'm coming home. And in my calendar, it says, Ravens at Cowboys. And I'm thinking the second one. And I'm thinking, am I really going to build my Saturday night around one around this next week? You're like, well, we'll forget about this soon or now. And we mentioned the injury, unfortunately. And I'm thinking, well, there's two more of these. I didn't build my night around it on Thursday night, but a lot of people did, and they were excited about it. All the bars had specials and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, maybe somebody put on a Lamar jersey and went out to a bar, but nobody went to the game. And I do wonder what the takeaways are when there are a bunch of guys that we sit here and Keaton Mitchell, talk about Starks. I guess we could talk about Tyler Loop, right? And a couple of and the injury. But other than that, there never is much to pick from these things ever, even when they're in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean it's always, they're little bits and pieces, right? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lose my mind because the passing game looked horrible with Devin Leary. He's the third string quarterback. He's going to be on the practice squad at best, right? I mean, would I've liked to have seen a little more from Cooper Rush? Sure. But even then, you know how my feelings on backup quarterbacks and investing many resources. I mean, it's a losing investment, right? I mean, you can spend all this money on your backup quarterback, but when you have a quarterback like a Lamar Jackson, like a Josh Allen, like a Patrick Mahomes, like a Joe Burrow, that guy goes down, your season's like you're just
I still think
toast.
Matt Schaub could have got it done if Joe would have gone down. So,
Yeah, I mean, he didn't. He had his chance that year, although season was already lost by then. But yeah, so that's where you're looking for standouts, right? I want to see Like, for example, I'll give you a good one. I thought Mike Green looked good in his first preseason action. But you know what? If he's going up against second and third team guys, he better look good. He better stand out in that scenario, right? I'm not saying he has to have five sacks and look like Lawrence Taylor in that setting, but I want to see some signs that, okay, this guy has a chance to be an impactful player as a rookie. And I absolutely think he does. He's at a really nice camp.
That's why baseball has Norfolk for Kobe Mayo,
No
right?
question, right? I mean, if you're a top prospect, you should rake at Triple A, right? I mean, there shouldn't be
Well, I
any
think
question
even
about
the
it.
NBA, people watch this developmental league in the
Summer
summer
league,
and stuff like
sure.
that. That's kind of what it's about.
So that's what you're kind of looking for, right? I mean, if you're looking like for this cohesive productivity and like and the offense to look like the Lamar-led offense that we see once the season kicks off for real, of course not. I mean, you don't have the same guys out there. But what you saw from Keaton Mitchell early on, that looked like that can play. Now, how much is he going to get the ball? I mean, you have Derrick Henry. I'm not going to sit here and suggest you give the ball to Derrick Henry less. I mean, I think you, in a big picture sense, you'd probably like to not have Derrick Henry carrying the ball 30 times a game in September and October
Especially
at
if you
age
don't need
31.
to in the third and
Sure,
fourth
no
quarter.
question. So you already have him. Justice Hill is the third down back, and I don't think that's going to change because he's better with blitz pickup, receiver out of the backfield. But I do think the Ravens, I think it would be, I don't want to say it would be dumb, but I think it would behoove them to find a way to get Keaton Mitchell at least five touches a game, in some way. I mean, and it's not always going to be that many. Sometimes it'll be more than that if it's a
But if
game
you
where
run a
you're up three
speed
touchdowns.
package on the field, if you're going to put Zay Flowers on the field, Keaton Mitchell on the field, Hill on the field, Lamar's always on the field,
Maybe
right?
based on what we saw Thursday night, maybe LaJonte Wester gets a five plays a game and there's a
So
speed
when
package. Who
all of
knows?
that happens, maybe it's D Hop going across the middle, that
Yeah.
actually makes the play. But man, if you got first off the quarterback being that kind of a
Sure.
weapon always is a problem for every team. It has been for 8 years now. I don't expect that not to be a problem. But to me, I love Derrick Henry. I love run the ball up your ass. They're going to need to do that in Buffalo, But I also like against certain teams and certain packages that play a little heavier to say we can create mismatches by bringing their Jalen Armour Davises onto the field.
No question. I mean, Todd Monken talks about this so much, and other, Greg Roman talked about it. Did they ever really do it? No. But Monken talks about this a lot. It's diversifying your portfolio as much as possible, right? I mean, can you play with speed? Can you play heavy? Can you play two tights? Can you play three wide receivers? Can you play pony where you're in 22 personnel, and maybe you have some instances where you do thunder and lightning, and you have Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell in the backfield on a given play or a given
But
package.
you
I mean,
always have that the quarterback can take off.
no question, right? I mean, it's the great equalizer, right? It's the great eraser for
It's like
anything that
playing chess with
happens.
two queens,
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that, and that's why I've always said, look, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that Lamar should seek out running 15 times a game, but if you're in a position where a defense really has bottled you up and figured out your game plan, man, it's nice to have it in your bag, right? I mean, it's a golfer who has every single club in the bag for every situation. I mean, that's what you want with your offense. That's what you want to be able to do. Now, you have to have the offensive line to execute all of that, right? Whether you're going to, pass protect, obviously pass protection or run blocking, but even with run blocking, I mean, are you going to do gap, man power? Is it going to be outside zone? All of that. You want to be as multiple, as diverse as you can be. And it really feels like, and it felt this way last year. I mean, this offense was unbelievable last year. I mean, it wasn't just Derrick Henry. Lamar threw for over 4,000 yards for the first time in his career. I mean, go look at his yards per attempt. The fact that he had 41 touchdowns to what, four interceptions. I mean, it can't get any better than that on paper, really. It's not necessarily that this offense, I think, I'm predicting it to be better statistically, but can it be even more diversified? Can it find a couple more ways to beat you? One thing that we've talked about in passing, and I've written about it at BaltimorePositive.com, they've worked a lot with cadence. That's something that they've talked about as maybe a next level step for them, is diversifying their pre-snap cadence a little bit. I mean, think about it. You always go on one, the defense figures that out pretty quickly too, right? And it can give them a little bit of an advantage and you a disadvantage. So can you diversify your cadence? Now, the problem with that is if your guys can't handle that, what's going to happen? You're going to have more false starts and more illegal motions. So that's something they've been working through here the first couple of weeks of camp. Will they get so good at it that they're going to be a team that really relies on varying their cadence more than in the past? We'll see. They might have to scrap it because they have had a lot of false start penalties the first 2.5 weeks of camp. But it's something they're working on, right? It's something new. And that's why Keaton Mitchell being back to the guy he was prior to the knee injury, that's another element to their offense that they didn't have last year. And that's, you know, that's scary for the opposition to realize that. And again, it's not that Keaton Mitchell is going to get a ton of touches in this offense, but he might get 4 or 5 and he might take off for 50 yards on one of those, right? At a time when Derrick Henry's not in the game, and that's where a defense, you know, subconsciously probably thinks they're gonna relax a little bit when Derrick Henry's not in, right? But you hand it to Keaton Mitchell, that could be a different dynamic for them. So, you know, those are the things you're trying to figure out. I mean, let's face it. I mean, on the other side, you have Indianapolis, who's trying to figure this out with their early first round pick from a couple years ago, who to this point hasn't been able to stay healthy. And when he hasn't been good, right? Daniel Jones has already failed in New York, right? I mean, he's not, even with the Giants having paid him, you know, not a top of market deal, but paying him real money, and it didn't work out. They're trying to figure that out. So even with some of their good supporting cast that they might have, and they have, you know, they've got some talent. I mean, Warren, their tight end out of Penn State. I mean, certainly a guy I think that's going to help whoever's playing quarterback. But that's a team that's trying to figure out who the heck they are right now. The Ravens know who they are. It's why they didn't have to play many of their starters. But you're still trying to tweak and test things out and
Well, you're trying
see
to find a
who can
level of
emerge.
competition to get better, right?
No questions. No question. But again, to go back to your point, there aren't these major sweeping takeaways, but if you can pull a few things here and there that you like, and then a few things here and there that you don't like. Like I said, I mean, I still have questions about off-ball linebacker other than Roquan Smith, right? And I think a solution for that ultimately is going to be they're probably not going to play a ton with two linebackers on the field. I'm guessing you're going to see them be in dime more than your typical team in 2025.
Probably even would have been more if they had Darius Washington too.
Sure, no question. And that's part of it. That's why I still,
This
you
comes
know.
to where Starks and where Hamilton learn the art of the craft of communication and
No
being
doubt.
more multiple. And that's hard for young football players, but it's not hard for young smart football players. Boy, they've really, in their broadcast and with the partners and Jerry Sandusky and Woodson and Evan, really have blown a lot of smoke towards Starks. So have you, that I see Starks on the back of the jersey there in the 24. I think a little bit of Foxworth, but not really Dwayne. You know, I see numbers and names in the early going, and when you get to be as old as I am, and you've seen them all, I just look and I'm like, I'm going to be looking for him early on, and I'm going to be looking for Wiggins, quite frankly. You know what I mean? I want to see that step up for the back end of the secondary. You know, I want to see him pick Josh Allen twice. I want to see him strip a ball. I want to see him make a play. You know, I want to see him not get beat. I want to see him get off the field on third down. So, I mean, I am expecting the secondary to be a strength of this football team, right?
It better be, right? I mean, they've put a lot of resources into it when you think about all the first round picks, right? You think about, I mean, even, and not that Jaire Alexander is making a lot of money. I mean, there's a reason why he was available in mid-June for
Yeah,
$4
but he's
million.
a high
But
expectation guy around here. DeAndre Hopkins is, whether
all
for better or
this,
worse.
I mean, Alexander, the ceiling's sky high. Hopkins, I don't think he's a high ceiling guy at this point, but I think he still, it goes back to what I said. He can win on the outside. He can win some contested catches still. He can be another option for them in the red zone. They don't need DeAndre Hopkins to be the guy he was in Houston, the 1,500-yard receiver. And that's good because he's not that guy anymore. But can he help and complement what Zay Flowers does and what Rashad Bateman does? Can he step into a bigger role if something happens to those guys, which that was a big key in Buffalo, they didn't have Zay Flowers because of a, he had a 3-week knee injury at the worst possible time, right? So you want to have more depth. So, but yeah, I mean, this goes back to how do you get a little bit better? And the secondary, there's a lot of focus on that. Obviously, the secondary played so much better down the stretch last year, but they knew they needed to fix the safety position. They knew they needed to address corner because they, they didn't really want to re-sign Brandon Stevens after a pretty disappointing year. But they've gone out and they've done that. But in the case of Starks, I think one, everything you just said is true. They are, I mean, that's why they loved him so much as a player. I mean, this guy was a star, stud, captain, red star kind of guy at Georgia, which, I mean, if you pay any attention to college football in recent years, I mean, that's as great as it gets as far as a program and a defense. So they like that element. And he's come in, doesn't have the safety net now, right? I mean, that when they drafted him, they thought he was going to be the number three safety because they had Ardarius Washington. So he had a safety net. He doesn't have that. But to this point, he's handled it. I think mentally and the maturity for him at his age, I think they are over the moon about those elements. That's not to say that he's not going to have some hiccups. I mean, Kyle Hamilton had some hiccups his first half of his rookie year. But can you limit those? And then I think as the year goes on, and I still think before it's all said and done, there's still a decent chance they're going to add a veteran safety to at least be the number three guy. The Eddie Jackson role that didn't work out at all last year, but the idea of what that was. So I still think that's on the table over these next 3 weeks. But I mean, we're still a month out from the season, right? I mean, it feels close, but it's not that close just yet. So you have some time to kind of workshop that. In the meantime, they're looking at Sanusi Kane, they're looking at Bo Braid, so they're looking at some of their internal options. But I think the key is, yes, Starks needs to hold up, but if he proves he can do that as the year goes on, and I think from a looking at it from a long-term perspective, I think they feel that he's not exactly like Kyle Hamilton, and that would be unfair to compare him to Kyle Hamilton, let alone Ed Reed, right? I mean, like anything crazy. But I do think when you look at how he profiled, I mean, he played a ton of nickel last year for Georgia. I mean, they kind of had a need and he did that. I think the Ravens feel that as he gets more comfortable, they'll be able to move those two guys around and just get back to that optimal positionless defense that I've talked about a lot, where, whether you have four, whether you have five, whether you have six guys in the secondary. I've seen the Ravens not do it often, but I've seen them have a few plays here and there with a quarter defense where they have seven defensive backs on the field during training camp.
Well, the game is also not designed to be so heavy up front in the running game
Sure.
in most places. We have Derrick Henry. We rarely saw Derrick Henry or Derrick Henry-like offenses where you're like, hey, man, we're light in the back. If we put seven DBs on the field, we're going to get run over. That's not really the case with these DBs either,
Yeah.
right? And that would be a little bit more as we saw Rod Woodson in the press box, and like when Rod, moved to a safety, safety got bigger, safety got stronger, and Ed Reed was a small-ish safety, but had no problem coming up trying to tackle you until he couldn't anymore, until his shoulder wasn't any good. But having guys that aren't going to get run over by Derrick Henry. Most of them are going to get run over by Derrick Henry, but you know what I'm saying in regard to heavy backs. That's not the game of football anymore. The game of football is draft a bunch of safeties that that are two-way and have them play sort of like a linebacker.
Right. I mean, and that's, I think the Ravens, and they're still not there that yet because, like I said, they're still working through who's going to be their number three safety. I mean, Sanusi Kane has had a nice spring and start to summer. I think there's potential there. I'm not ready to sit here and say that he's the kind of guy that's ready to play 30 snaps a game or whatever it would be as the third safety that comes on the field when you go into dime or just three safety nickel, as the Ravens are apt to do. Other than last year, where they just had so many problems at safety, so you still figure that out. But that's what you want out of a defense. And look, let me be clear: I don't think they're going to be in a quarter defense with seven defensive backs that often. I don't, I, you know, that's kind of extreme. But I do think they'll be in dime quite a bit. And what you want is you want six defensive backs or five defensive backs that can all kind of do the same things, right? I mean, there were times last year, the last couple of years, there were times where, okay, Marlon Humphrey is playing the nickel, he's playing the slot, but you go and look at the play and how they flip their coverage and disguise their coverage even after the snap. There were plays where Marlon Humphrey played safety, right? I mean, there are plays where we've seen it. Kyle Hamilton is playing nickel, or he's rushing from the edge, or he's blitzing up the middle. I mean, you want to have that kind of, again, going back to what I said about Todd Monken with the offense, you're diversifying your looks, you're diversifying where guys are playing. You drop into cover three, but who exactly are the three guys dropping, right? I mean, so, into those deep thirds, right? And who's playing man, or who's coming off their guy and blitzing the quarterback untouched? I mean, it's more complicated than that, but that's what you're looking for, right? That positionless defense where you say, no, this isn't having a free safety, a strong safety, two outside corners and a nickel. Although there's certainly times where it's that simple, but we've got five guys back there, and we're gonna confuse you, right? I mean, a big part of what they want to do on either side is to put the opponent in stress, in a stressful setting, right? In the same way that the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry at the mesh point, or whatever they're trying to do offensively, they are putting a heck of a lot of stress on those linebackers to know where to go. And in the NFL, you take a half false step, that's the difference between a 2 yard gain and someone going for 25 in this offense, or 50, right? I mean, it's that simple. So, and it's the same thing with opposing quarterbacks. You make them doubt the coverage that they're seeing in front of them for an extra half second, or they've got to pat the ball, they're double pumping and they're not sure. That's the difference between someone maybe intercepting a pass or the pass rush, which, we saw them be fantastic in terms of collecting sacks last year, but if you looked at pressure rate, it was a little more middling. I think anyone knows in recent years when the Ravens have been in a position where their best defense is rushing four, it doesn't go as well, generally speaking. But that right there, if you can deceive in the back end of the defense, that gives Kyle Van Noy or Adafe Owe or Mike Green or Nnamdi Matabike that extra half of a second to get to the quarterback and, hit the quarterback as he throws, it's incomplete. Gets knocked up in the air, a strip sack rather than just a quarterback hit, right? I mean, so there's a chain effect here, right? I mean, everything that happens at any point in the defense will impact others in a positive, either a positive way or a negative way. So, they're working all that out, but I mean, the potential is sky high. I mean, it absolutely is. There's only a few positions on either side of the ball that I have great, I don't even know if great concern, relative concern is probably the best way to put it. I mean, O-line depth, probably some D-line depth, but behind their starters, a little bit of a question there. Third, number three safety, inside linebacker, better not have anything happen to Roquan Smith because, I mean, these young guys, are they ready, right? Are they
Kicker.
And obviously kicker, right? Which Tyler Loop missed the first one wide left. That's kind of how he's missed. Kind of strange because that's the way Justin Tucker was missing last year. I'm not saying it's the same exact issue, but he came back and
Crooked
then,
ball.
yeah, and then hit one from 52 that looked really good, right? I mean, I don't think one field goal miss suddenly means, oh my gosh, they need to bring in a veteran, but you want to see improvement. You want to see growth. You want to see more consistency, right? And, last
I'm gonna
weekend,
say right now, I mean, I never liked Justin Tucker. We can go through all the transgressions, but they're not gonna get a kicker like him.
I mean, in his prime, I mean, how can you
Yeah.
expect that,
I
right? I mean,
mean, I don't know how that's gonna happen.
this look, he, and that's not to say Tyler Loop could end up being the best kicker in football over the next 5 years, but that doesn't mean he's going to be Justin Tucker in his prime, right? I mean, and let's be clear, part of this that made it easier to move on from Justin Tucker beyond all the off-field transgressions and ugliness and all of that is the fact that he was coming off his worst year as a kicker, right? I mean, okay, he figured it out late in the season, but we were talking about the possibility of them bringing in someone to at
Well, he
least push
wasn't going
him.
to be ascending. He wasn't going to be
Yeah.
getting better as a kicker.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, that's the reality. So, I mean, in the case of Tyler Loop, part of that is Can you be better than what Justin Tucker was through the first 11 games last year? He was bad through the first 11 games last year. So the first question is, can you be better than that? Right? So if he can answer that, then okay, we have
Well,
something
he
to work
better be
with here.
better than that because he'll get
Sure.
cut in week
Right.
six.
I mean, he'll exactly. They'll bring in another kicker. I mean, he's a sixth round pick. I've said this over and over. I was saying this when they still had John Hoyland in camp. Hoyland's, you could tell Hoyland's leg wasn't nearly as strong as Loop's, but a sixth round pick, that's not a threshold that you're absolutely going to keep a guy. They didn't, this isn't as though they drafted Sebastian Janikowski in the first round, right? And you're kind of stuck with a
Dude, they
guy when
went
you
through
do that.
Graham Gano and Steve
Yeah.
Hauschka because these things
So,
happen.
but I, to a man, I think they really do like this kid. He's got a really, I mean, the leg strength is not a question. He made a, 60 plus yarder at the stadium practice the other day. He the leg strength is not a question. And for the most part, he's performed in practice. I mean, he had one really rough day back in the spring. He had another day in the spring that it was, kind of like Thursday night. He made one, missed one, and he had one camp practice. Probably the first week that he wasn't great. Other than that, he's been excellent. So you need to see growth. You need to remove those from the equation, right? You can't have one of those days when you're playing Buffalo or Kansas City. We know that. But that was also part of their issue last year. I mean, for as much as we talk about them not getting off to a great start last year and the games that they lost, go look at some of those games. The Eagles game, Tucker missed multiple kicks. The Steelers game, missed kicks. I mean, go down the list of the games they lost. Justin Tucker had a hand in a few of those. So, Tyler Loop, can he be a legitimate NFL kicker? Can he be an average NFL kicker? Can he be an above average NFL kicker? Asking any more than that, I mean, you hope he can be better than that eventually, but I also recognize he's a rookie, right? And to your point, you can't put the burden on him thinking that he's going to be peak prime Justin Tucker, right? I mean, that's unreasonable because that guy
That
doesn't
means he's
grow.
going to miss some kicks.
Yeah, so that means he's going to miss some kicks. But to your point, and you talked about this, talking about the punting game more so, you're also in a position, and the Ravens have been in a position in recent years, they haven't relied on Justin Tucker as heavily as they did in the past. So there's going to be some of that as well.
Yeah, fourth and three from the 31. Well, I mean, I
We're going
know
to.
Tucker can make it, but we're going to score touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean fourth and one. It's like okay, yeah, we could have Tucker try a 50-yard field goal, but we've got Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. We're going to get the first down and score a touchdown in three plays, right? So there's still going to be that at work, but that is part of what we're continuing to look at and monitor, and it's why you're seeing the daily updates from everyone who's out in Owings Mills. Oh, Loop was 6 for 6 today. Oh, he was 5 for 6. Oh, he was 4 for 4. Right? I mean, I'm not keeping stats like that on Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, we know what Lamar is. But in the case of Tyler Loop, yeah, they're trying to figure it out. Disappointing to see him miss the first one, but did come back and make the second one in rock solid fashion. So next time, as they're getting ready to go to Dallas and we'll be kicking in a dome, you want to see that leg play, right? I mean, they're going to be facing a really good kicker because what Aubrey is maybe the best in football. I mean, certainly has the best leg in football at this point. For Dallas, one of the few things I actually like about their team at this point in time, given the mess they are. But you want to see Loop take the next step and not let the miss on Thursday night kind of linger. And he already he was able to make the second one on Thursday night, so that was good to see as well.
All right, Luke is going to be monitoring all things fake football, real practice, real Orioles baseball as well as we get through. And it's just been tough, man. Last place baseball in Philadelphia. You're going West Coast in soon here. Getting the scorecard out, all of that, and then getting your scorecard out for these preseason games, including the Dallas game next Saturday, which I'm like, am I really going to build a set? I'll be worn out by next Saturday because we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all week long. We'll be at Mako. We are doing our tastiness tour as well. And I'm finding some great tastiness. 27, my legitimate 27 favorite things to eat. I'm doing the countdown into the weekend. I've gotten people catch on already. I had a friend, I went to dinner at Costas with a friend last week, her and her husband, and she wanted me to tell her what the 27 things. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna tell you that. You gotta follow along. And then like we got about 2 days into it, And she's like, Jerk Hut, Towson. Wow, this is fun. I'm going to follow along. I'm like, what was the whole point? I'm an old radio carny, is what I am. It's the Luke, it's the slow season. Don't tell anyone. Last place baseball, preseason football, but I have real lottery tickets to give away. Lucky sevens, as well as the whammy and pressure luck. We're gonna be out at Coco's Costas. I'll give the whole schedule here because I somebody hit me the other day. They're like, yeah, you didn't put the schedule up, and I was gonna be at Beaumont this week. We punted on Beaumont. Speaking of kicking, we punted on Beaumont into September when Evan Brown could join us, and we lost a couple of our guests this week as well. We're going to be at Fadley's on the 21st. We're going to be at Pizza John's on the 22nd in Essex. We're going to be at Costas in Timonium on the 25th. We're going to be at Slancha in Fells Point on the 26th, and we're going to be at Coco's in Lauraville on the 27th. So we bunched them all together, and we're getting ready for the football season. I'm going to be in Mako in Ocean City next week, and we're eating good here in the neighborhood. I am Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive and our new sponsorship with GBMC that you'll be hearing about. That means I need to make a doctor's appointment.